The Gary Knoll Show, weekdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, the latest on health and healing. What's in that Mediterranean diet that can make us live longer? Why you should not be using synthetic hormone replacement therapy? And also, for those who pay attention to the issues of the environment, the Great Plains River basins, where millions of Americans live, are threatened by pumping of the aquifers, using too much water for an area that unfortunately is going dry. Going to seed, how hybrid and genetically modified seeds may create more problems than they solve. And then my guest in the second half of our program will be Jesse Ventura. You won't want to miss this because I'm of the belief, and I've shared this with this audience, that both the Clinton or Obama Democrats and the Bush Republicans and conservatives have both participated in allowing undue influence by major corporations, including the ALEC corporations, working with state and federal legislators to craft laws that enhance their power against us, creating bureaucracies like Homeland Security and 16 separate intelligence agencies that then go about using us as human guinea pigs. In other words, we're told we are not going to have the option of organic, but we will be eating genetically engineered food that has been irradiated with antibiotics in it. I'm going to give you a separate report from Martha Rosenberg on what drugs are going to be in your Thanksgiving turkey if you eat turkey, showing you how bad it is, things you didn't know were in there. But more importantly for me is, what happened to our Constitution? What happened? Why don't we have habeas corpus? Why have we allowed a relatively small number of people and corporations to dictate our national policies? I believe that we are engaged in a creeping fascism. I believe we have become a surveillance state. I believe that every person that uses their constitutional right to protest, no matter if it's a Tea Party or the Occupy Wall Street group, they both rightly were protesting what they were angry about. That's what a democracy allows. But what if they were also photographed? And what if now they're on terrorist watch list, which is actually the case? And why are the police overreacting with such violence? Why does it take two cops in Washington, D.C. to body slam a paraplegic out of a wheelchair and clearly didn't have to do any of that? What's going on in their mind? What allows someone to overreact in such a way to put pepper spray in people's faces who are peacefully protesting? The police should have been arrested, and the people that authorized it all should be held accountable. And yet, from my perspective, nothing going on now will make a difference. But wait, listen to what I'm saying. You're not out where I'm out. If you're in New York, you only see the world through the eyes of someone living there. Come to all the towns and communities where I've been traveling, and will for the next month and a half, and look at a lot of people who are the working poor. They're in no one's demonstrations. They haven't been the Tea Party, the Occupy, but they're angry. The difference is they're angry and armed. 65 million poor people are working who are armed. That will be the demonstrations that will make a difference in what happens in our future. So I'm going to ask Jesse Ventura about this. How we became a police state, but the Democrats and Republicans allowed it to happen, encouraged it to happen. So that is our second interview, or the second part of our program today. Let's begin. We have a lot to share. I'm opposed to any form of synthetic hormone replacement therapy, but on my program, Talkback, last night, which is on our archive now, I spent almost 40 minutes doing a very comprehensive detail of what exactly is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and why it is safe, and why synthetic or non-bioidentical hormone is dangerous. And I mentioned each one of the hormones and what they do and why we shouldn't be taking them, yet the FDA and the Surgeon General and all of our American medicine support the cancer-causing, heart attack and heart disease-producing synthetic non-bioidentical hormones and actually attack natural hormonal replacement therapy. Just the opposite of what should happen. Here's one more reason why you should not ever use the advice of your doctor when it comes to turning off hot flashes and remineralizing your bone. First, we can remineralize the bones. I did the actual studies in 1994 under Dr. Peter Augo, where we did actual mineral remineralization tests, where we were able to prove that women had full remineralization who were suffering from osteoporosis using natural dietary techniques. And people are taking hormone replacement therapy because they don't want to develop osteoporosis. This is from Breast Cancer Research and Treatment, the newest issue. I read it early this morning. Quote, menopausal hormone therapy ups cancer risk. Women taking menopausal hormone therapy that combines estrogen and progestin, that's your synthetic, may be at a higher risk of developing breast cancer than women taking estrogen alone, a new study has shown. Researchers at UCLA Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center found that women taking the combination of hormone therapy were experiencing new onset breast tenderness, had a 33% greater subsequent risk of developing breast cancer than women who did not experience that and were not taking those hormones. So what is the message? Don't use synthetic hormone replacement therapy ever. If your doctor suggests it, find another doctor. And if you want to know all the facts based upon good science, download and listen to the Talkback Hour from go to the Progressive Radio Network archives. It was last evening's 8 o'clock show. Now, the Mediterranean diet is one of the three healthiest diets in the world. The Greek diet, which is a part of the Mediterranean diet, but is more unique and localized, where they have the longest lived people in the world, would be my first choice in suggesting to people. And then the people living in Formosa have a very healthy diet. And Okinawa, they have a very healthy diet. But the Mediterranean is what most people could realistically follow. There are at least 360 studies in the peer-reviewed literature showing that if you take the Mediterranean diet, you're going to live a longer life. Here's just one more. Quote, Mediterranean diet lets you live longer. A study has found that the Mediterranean diet, alongside other factors, could be capable of extending your life expectancy by 15 years for women and 8 years for men. The Mediterranean diet is high in vegetables, olive oil, fruit, nuts, fish, and whole grains, and low in meat and alcohol. A 10-year study by the University of Maastricht in the Netherlands followed 120,000 men and women who were using this diet. And that's what they found. 15 years added on to your life expectancy. That's good news. Also, for those from our environmental segment, I've been mentioning that for the future, we should take an honest look at every major metropolitan area in the United States and ask just a few questions. What is the source of the water that is given to the individuals who live there, to industry, to the municipality, and also for farming? And is it sustainable? And is it of a high quality, since only 1% of the world's water is drinkable? Now we know that the great aquifer, the largest aquifer in America, which is over Kansas and runs over under four states, it's 50% down. But also other aquifers are draining out, and major cities are going to have plans to move a lot of people in the next 10 years because there won't be water for all these needs. Already in Austin, people can only water their lawns every 2 weeks. In Houston, every 2 weeks, and it'll get worse and worse. Here's the latest in Science Daily, and this is from the peer-reviewed journal Ecohydrology. The Great Plains River basins threatened by pumping of aquifers. Suitable habitat for native fishes in many Great Plains streams has been significantly reduced by the pumping of groundwater from High Plains aquifers, and scientists analyzing water loss say ecological futures for these areas is bleak. Results of their study have been published in this journal. Unlike alluvial aquifers, which can be replenished seasonally with rain and snow, these regional aquifers were filled by melting glaciers during the last ice age. Researchers are saying that this water will not come back when it's gone. Quote, it is a finite resource that is not being recharged. That water has been there for thousands of years, and it's rapidly being depleted. Already, streams that used to run year-round are becoming seasonal, and refuge habitats for native fishes are drying up and becoming increasingly fragmented. Now, just as an aside, I have found that a lot of people wanting to move back to the land are looking for aesthetically beautiful environments, which is fine, but they're not doing the really hydrology testing. You must get all of the hydrology maps, find out what kind of aquifers or how deep is a well, how deep do you have to dig to get actual drinking water, what's in the water, have it analyzed. Don't take anyone's word for it, because I also know people who now have purchased property, beautiful view, ran out of water, and hence can't live there. So check your water, we're running out. This is on our challenge to genetic engineering. Hybrid and genetically modified seeds may create more problems than they solve. I'll quote this. A U.S. government-supported pilot project introduced hybrid maize seeds produced by the multinational Monsanto set off alarm bells over its potential harm. And then it went into what happened in this pilot that will train 20,000 farmers in hybrid maize production methods and help in marketing the seeds. And then it went into how these individuals at one time and historically were organic farmers. But now the activists are becoming aware because these are sterile terminator seeds. And they will only germinate once. Well, let me explain this. If you're a farmer, part of every crop that you raise, it goes to seed. For example, if you have one head of lettuce, it first starts off as a sprout, comes up out of the ground after about 4 or 5 days, and you plant it about a quarter inch under the soil, and you get it water, and then as that little tiny sprout comes up, and it's green, then it goes from there into the next 35 days into a microgreen. And then the microgreen continues to grow into a full head in about 45 to 65 days, depending upon what you're growing. Then, if you didn't harvest it, it will what is called go to seed. A shoot will come up through the middle of it, and on that will be thousands of little seeds. By collecting the seeds and drying them, you now have that plant to plant the next year. The same is true for tomatoes. If you cut open some tomatoes, let them dry, you have hundreds of seeds per tomato. So let's say you have 100 tomatoes, you now have 10,000 or 20,000 seeds for the next season. Those become your tomato plants for the next year when you plant them indoors in the spring and then outdoors in the summer. With terminator seeds, you can only plant it once, and then you have to buy the seed from Monsanto the next year. So that means that people who are poor to begin with, where are they going to get the money to buy this stuff? And then what happens the next year if they need to buy it again and they don't have the money? You could be putting hundreds of millions of people at risk of starvation and food scarcity. So needless to say, that's the other side of that. And finally, TSA puts off study of safety of the X-ray body scanners. And I'll quote this from ProPublica, from Michael Grabel. The head of the Transportation Security Administration has backed off a public commitment to conduct a new independent study of X-ray body scanners used at airport security lanes around the country. Earlier this month, in an investigation by ProPublica, they found that the TSA had glossed over research that the X-ray scanners could lead to a small number of cancer cases. The scanners emit low levels of ionizing radiation, which have been shown to damage the DNA. In addition, several safety reviewers who initially advised the government on the scanners said they had concerns about the machines being used, as they are today on millions of airline passengers. Now, they're going to back off and they're not going to do this. And they have the full support of the Obama administration. So they're not going to do any independent studies. So do not, under any circumstance, allow yourself to be put into those body scanners. When they came out, the only reason that we have them is because Chernoff, who is the head of Homeland Security, it's his company making them. This is one of those typical, absolutely common ways that you make money in Washington, D.C. You get to be a powerful person, then you get private contracts, then you go back to the very agencies that you used to head, and then you get them to buy your contracts. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do about safety or preventing bombing suspects. But why should we be concerned? Well, because the European Union has already banned those same airport x-ray scanners over health concerns. Citing health concerns, the European Union banned from European airports this week the same kind of x-ray scanners used by the TSA in airports across the U.S. And so they're not safe, so don't use them. And isn't that interesting? They're not using them in Europe. We're still using them here. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Before we go to Jesse Ventura and take some of your issues in the studio, let me also mention that I would like to see more people in the American media look behind the people who are now making the most important moves in Europe. For example, are you aware that the new head, the new prime minister in Italy, Mario Monti, he was not elected. In fact, his entire cabinet, not a single person was elected. Do you know who he is? And this is where you have to now realize that the American media had it wrong all along. But the Alex Joneses had it right. Now, that's a hard thing for a lot of people on the left and the right to accept. For example, Italy's new prime minister rose to power. How? Well, he was one of the heads of the Bilderberg Group and proud of it. And he also was the head of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commissioner, one of the top supporters of it. And he's known as Super Mario, and he's listed as an international advisor. And where did he advise? Goldman Sachs, one of the most powerful financial firms in the world. So what you have now is a person who's going in there and surrounding himself in his cabinet with bankers and technocrats and lawyers who are going to do one thing only: make sure that the bankers, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, all the bondholders, which are principally hedge funds and banks, that they make their money. That they make their money with interest. Right now, that's interest is 7%, the highest of any bonds out there. What do they have to do to get that money? Oh, well, that's the bad part. They have to start taking away a lot of the pensions and benefits of the Italian people. Well, how long do you think that's going to last? I'm predicting within 6 to 9 months, Italy will have a major pushback and go to the streets and throw this guy out. So this is just a complete fraud at every level. So that's one of the things I'm concerned about. Now, I want you to know that in the United States, we rarely have people who do their homework in the media. So when someone's elected or someone has a position, they don't look at the person's background and what they bring to that. But other people are willing to stand up and call this out. One is Nigel Farage, president of a group of the Europe of Freedom and Democracy. Here's what he had to say, and see if you can remember anyone in our Congress saying something similar about the corporate Democrats of Clinton and Obama or the corporate Republicans of Bush and Reagan.
Well, here we are, on the edge of a financial and social disaster, and in the room today we have the four men who were supposed to be responsible. And yet we've listened to the dullest, most technocratic speeches I've ever heard. You are all in denial. By any objective measure, the euro is a failure. And who is actually responsible? And who's in charge out of you lot? Well, of course, the answer is none of you, because none of you have been elected. None of you actually have any democratic legitimacy for the roles that you currently hold within this crisis. And into this vacuum, albeit reluctantly, has stepped Angela Merkel. And we are now living in a German-dominated Europe. Something that the European project was actually supposed to stop. Something that those that went before us actually paid a heavy price in blood to prevent. I don't want to live in a German-dominated Europe, and nor do the citizens of Europe. But you guys have played a role. Because when Mr. Papandreou got up and used the word referendum, or Mr. Wren, you described it as a breach of confidence, and your friends here got together like a pack of hyenas, rounded on Papandreou, had him removed and replaced by a puppet government. What an absolutely disgusting spectacle that was. And not satisfied with that, you decided that Berlusconi had to go. So he was removed and replaced by Mr. Monti, a former European Commissioner, a fellow architect of this Euro disaster, and a man who wasn't even a member of the Parliament. It's getting like an Agatha Christie novel, where we're trying to sort of work out who's the next person that's going to be bumped off. The difference is we know who the villains are. You should all be held accountable for what you've done. You should all be fired. And I have to say, Mr. Van Rompuy, 18 months ago when we first met, I was wrong about you. I said you'd be the quiet assassin of nation-state democracy, but you're not anymore. You're rather noisy about it, aren't you? You, an unelected man, went to Italy and said, this is not the time for elections, but the time for actions. What in God's name gives you the right to say that to the Italian people?
Thank you.
Now, that, keep in mind, he is addressing there the European Union. And he hits Gordon Brown, he hits David Cameron, he hits the prime ministers of England, his country, equally hard. He's one of the true, honest voices. And he's saying the people in Greece were supposed to have a referendum to say, do we want these austerity measures? Do we want to give all the money we have to the banks and us to starve? And then they took away that referendum and replaced Papandreou with one of their puppets. So all over Europe, where we in the United States are heralding this as a good thing, bringing stability, this is a coup d'etat. This is a coup d'etat headed by Goldman Sachs, now showing you Goldman Sachs' complicity in everything evil going on in the financial markets in Europe.
Le Monde's London correspondent claims that Goldman Sachs has developed a network of influential figures across Europe, which includes the new head of the European Central Bank.
It's amazing.
A sense of conflict of interest.
It's pretty extraordinary stuff. Page 2 of Le Monde today, the European Freemasonry of Goldman Sachs. And what they mean by Freemasonry is the way in which the Freemasons operate. It's a network. Mm-hmm. And Goldman Sachs essentially, according to the London correspondent, I mean, it's pretty difficult to refute what he says, have put in place a network across Europe. Who does that include? You've got Mario Draghi. Let's have a look at his photo here online. He's the new head of the European Central Bank, former vice president of Goldman Sachs Europe. You've also got the current prime minister, unelected prime minister of Italy. That's Mario Monti. He was a former advisor to Goldman Sachs from I think 2005 up until the point when he was made prime minister. You've also got the prime minister of Greece by the name of Lucas Papademos.
Papademos.
And he was a former head of the Greek Central Bank at the time when Greece came into the Eurozone. Now, what they're saying here is the figures that Greece presented, we've been hearing this for a long time now, that the figures were not honest. And in fact, it seems that Goldman Sachs helped Greece to present a better face to the world. through very complicated financial instruments known as swaps. This was a financial instrument that Goldman Sachs helped Greece to conceal its debt
That's since been referred to as lies and manipulation by various observers since, hasn't it?
But it's what's extraordinary is that the Greek Central Bank was, I suppose, complicit with Goldman Sachs in concealing the true extent of Greek debt. And you had Lucas Papademos at the head of the Greek Central Bank at that time. And so he goes through various other figures. You've also got this guy, a former European commissioner, an Irishman by the name of Peter Sutherland. He helped to place Mario Monti, who is now the Prime Minister, at the head of the Trilateral Commission, according to Le Monde. That's a key inner circle for the global elite. So what you're seeing here in this article is a list of names of people who have very close associations with Goldman Sachs, who have very senior positions, either in central banks or at government level in several different European countries.
So Goldman Sachs, Freemasons, all linked together, and Le Monde basically going public on it and saying
on the whole thing. And what's interesting is their London correspondent, a guy by the name of Mark Rush, he wrote a book called The Bank, How Goldman Sachs Rules the World. Now, it won the French Business Book Award in 2010. So he's not somebody who's a sort of a wacky conspiracy theorist.
Mark Rush is a serious journalist. He's a serious journalist. He's been a guest on France 24. You know, I'm not saying we agree or disagree with what he's saying, but you know, he's a man whose reputation is good.
Absolutely,
you know, he's not crazy.
And he goes into great length at this article, which is well worth reading for those who do read French, saying that since 1986, Goldman Sachs has been extending into the European market. Of course, originally an American bank, and they have targeted former European commissioners and former managers at central banks throughout Europe to work on their behalf. And they often don't tell the people who they're dealing with that they are actually associated with Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs then allegedly has access to information which is favourable. It's very, very serious charges, but very well laid out.
And isn't it interesting that that is a major original article in Le Monde, which would be equivalent to our Atlantic Monthly, where they still do good original investigative reporting. And what you just heard was two journalists from the British television. So they're talking about how Goldman Sachs has infiltrated itself and, in effect, buying leading policymakers within the banking and business community to do their bidding. Not a word of this conspiracy in the United States, because the banks in the United States own everything. An enormous amount of conflict of interest. We're doing nothing about it. Jesse Venturia coming to us in just a moment. Let's go over to our studio and say hello to Richard Gell. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Gary. Make this very quick. We have, just for our listeners, 7 p.m. this evening. We're going to be showing Knocking on the Devil's Door. This is free of charge, and it's going to be at the Theater for the New City. That's 155 First Avenue between 9th and 10th Streets. And then at 9 p.m., there will be a free viewing of Death by Medicine. So that is going to be this evening, starting at 7 p.m. for Knocking on the Devil's Door. 8:30, half-hour intermission. I'll be there to address some questions. And then at 9 p.m., it will be start of Death by Medicine.
I want to thank the theater for agreeing to show for free two major important socially relevant documentaries, and it's open to anyone who wishes to go free. Both showings tonight downtown, and Richard Gell will be there for Q&A along with Valerie, two of our top producers. Now a break, back with
one other announcement, and that's that we have to make, and that's going to be for your 7 p.m. broadcast this evening.
Oh, powerful show.
Okay, so this is going to be for your the Progressive Commentary Hour, and we're going to be exploring the corruption of money, and within the National Medical Associations. These are the professional associations: the American Dietary Association, the American Cancer Society, American Heart Association, and the American Diabetes Association. So joining for that program will be representative or two from the Alliance for Natural Health, who they've been
Richard, guests. we got to go to our break, or we're going to not be able to get the whole interview in. But they can listen tonight at 7 p.m., Progressive Radio Network, the Progressive Commentary Hour, the most downloaded hour I know of in all of radio in the United States, and they'll see why it's that tonight when they listen in on this. Now a break, and then coming back with Jesse Venturia.
Days can be sunny with never a song. don't need what money can buy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nolan. I'd like to welcome you to this program. In this segment of our program, we're going to be taking a look at the emergence of the United States as a police state. You heard me right. Homeland security, surveillance, cyber activity, town contracts with private security firms for police patrolling, police violence against Occupy Wall Street protesters. It goes on and on. Why have we gotten to this place? I was of the impression that if you were opposed to something, you had a right to share that. You had a right to join others in nonviolent protest. Today we know that virtually everyone who protests is then labeled as a potential terrorist. You're put on watch lists, and the government has acknowledged this. Well, then where is our freedom to be protected if we have a view that differs from the status quo? My guest to explore this today is Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura was once before on our program, and he is one of the most progressive voices in the United States. He was a Navy SEAL during the latter phase of the Vietnam War, followed by a career in professional wrestling in the World Federation, Wrestling Federation, and then a sportscaster. He also was in films. In the early 1990s, he began his political career, first as a mayor of Brooklyn Park in Minnesota, and later being elected as the governor of the state on the Independent Reform Party ticket from 1998-2002. Now, he's been an ardent supporter of Main Street Americans. And when his state of Minnesota ran a budget surplus, he provided a sales tax rebate since the money belonged to the public. He's been a prominent supporter of women's rights, gay rights, opposition to trade sanctions, and a leading critic of federal policies leading America into a morphing into a police surveillance state. His most recent book is 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, and his book American Conspiracies was released in paperback this year. Nice to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Gary. Great to be back.
Take us through your most recent investigations, especially in light of the fact that historically Americans, the official left and the official right, what I would call the corporate left and the corporate right, the Obama and Clinton left and the Bush and Reagan right, these people feel very uncomfortable with anyone talking about any conspiracies, as if we have no conspiracies in America. Never been a thought that any of the presidents, or let's say Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and JFK, that there was a conspiracy. No conspiracies of any unique group, like the Council on Foreign Relations, Bilateral Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderberg Group. None of that is conspiracy. In effect, they don't believe any conspiracy. So along you come, and Alex Jones and others saying, hold on a second, there are people who are meeting in secret to determine what is in their best interest and against ours. And now you've done a great deal of research on this. Take us step by step through what we can actually prove with hard evidence is conspiratorial, is not in the public interest, and yet is not being discussed, and you not being given a forum in the mainstream media to share this. The forum is yours.
Well, thank you. I guess, you know, for me, it started with the murder of John F. Kennedy. You know, I was around 11 or 12 years old when that happened, and you just accept what you were told on mainstream media and what went down. But as I grew and got older, I started to read history as I spent hours and hours in airports traveling during my wrestling career, and it gets very boring, so I used to read. And I got hooked on the John F. Kennedy murder and started to read everything I possibly could on it. And, you know, and you come to realize at that point, when you don't believe the official story, which I don't today at all, that it gets as simple as that. If someone can murder the president and get away with it, what can't they do?
All right.
Nothing. I mean, they can get away with anything, it seems to me, if you can kill the president and get away with it. So, you know, it was always a passion of mine. And then when, after I got out of office, We kind of fell into this TV show conspiracy theory where I get to go out and literally go after these conspiracies from the conspiratorial side, and it's very interesting and exciting work to do, and it's led me to a lot of places. And I did a show on Kennedy my second season, which they promised I could, and we had a full confession from E. Howard Hunt to his son St. John Hunt a few weeks before he died, both audio, visual, and written. Now, this is the second time Hunt, because there was a civil trial that took place in Florida 20, 25 years ago that Mark Lane wrote about in his book Plausible Denial, where Hunt actually, it was found by a jury that yes, indeed, he had participated in the murder of John Kennedy in a libel court case that received virtually no mainstream media press. Well, St. John Hunt, his son, came to me because 60 Minutes was going to do this story. They thought they had the story of the century, and then, of course, at the 11th hour, the plug was pulled. So St. John Hunt, Howard Hunt's son, came to me, and we played it on my show, The Confession of His Father. He talks about it was called The Big Event. He said the CIA did it. The guys in charge were William Harvey, who at that time, if you studied it, was the head of the CIA assassination unit, kind of a rogue element in there, and David Sanchez Morales, who later on became even more famous about 4 years later when they captured Che Guevara in Bolivia, put him up against a wall and executed him. And allegedly, story has it that Sanchez Morales used to wear Guevara's Rolex watch as a trophy. And so that's led me to where I'm at today, investigating things. And I've learned this, that, you know, what mainstream media and what the government tells you isn't always true. You know, I've investigated 9/11 now for going on 4 to 5 years. I've talked to people that survived it, talked to actual people that were in it, and have learned a far different story than what the official story is from our government. And as you get into different aspects of it, you start realizing that what the government told us defies the very laws of physics, which you can't do. You can't defy the laws of physics. Another story is told. And now lately, for me, it was my court case that I went to court. I sued over my Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, reasonable search and seizure, in a federal court. It got in front of a federal judge, and the federal judge ruled that she didn't have jurisdiction. Well, this is a constitutional issue, question I have. If a federal judge doesn't have jurisdiction, then who does? Well, obviously no one. So the thing I want to really, Gary, get out today with my interview is to inform people that when you go to any airport in the United States of America today, you must understand that you are not protected by the Constitution and you have no protection of the Bill of Rights there. Virtually, they can do anything they want to you, and what they do to you, you have no way of knowing. Let me read to you what my attorney sent to me on when she threw it out of court, the federal judge Nelson. He said, order dismissing our case for lack of jurisdiction reads much like the government's brief and does not directly address the gist of our argument regarding the constitutional absurdity of being subject to a quote-unquote secret order that can be changed in secret at any time and without notice and cannot be challenged in a district court. So that, Gary, is what you're dealing with here. It deals with a thing called administrative law that they now use to loop the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
But if the American public was that concerned, they would protest. There has been no protest except for those who would maybe on a radio show or a television show say, well, they're not happy with people groping them. They're not happy going through an X-ray machine that has never been shown to be safe. In fact, Europe, I don't know if you're aware of this, Europe banned the X-ray machines because they have evidence that they're not safe.
Let's interject why the machines are there. Chertoff is the head guy with that company now that installs them.
Of course, but that's
so
how all these
making a huge
government
profit
contracts work.
By us putting them in all our airports and subjecting people to dangerous x-rays, because that's not safe at all. They haven't done any studies. They don't know the long-term effect. And again, there's nothing you can do about it, because the courts say that they don't have jurisdiction. Well, if they don't, who does? So they can do, we don't even know the rules when you go out there, because they state that the TSA rules are national security. So you have no way of knowing, even if you have been abused out there, to attempt to get redress or anything. And it's not going to end there, Gary. The TSA is going to go into bus stations. It's going to go into train stations. That's the plan. And even now in the state of Tennessee, they call them TSA Viper patrols. They're going to be on the Tennessee highways in five different locations, where apparently they will pull you over and search you without any probable cause on the basis of, you know, terrorism, the war on terror, and whatever. And we're sitting here losing our Constitution and our constitutional rights because we're not listening to what Benjamin Franklin told us. Benjamin Franklin once said, "For those that will give up their liberty for security, they shall have nor deserve neither." And he's correct. Freedom is security. No government can make you safe and give you freedom. The only way that a government can make you safe is to lock you down and put you under lock and key. But our people seem to be good with that. Jesse Ventura is not good with that. Jesse Ventura will continue to fight against that.
Okay, so
but it seems the majority seems to be okay with it.
Okay, every day I'm posting on progressiveradionetwork.com. I'm posting pictures. Today, I posted a paraplegic in a wheelchair where two Washington, D.C. police, fully armed, came up, lifted him up out of the chair, slammed him on the ground about 6 feet away, breaking his head open, blood pouring out all over the place, handcuffed the guy. And I'm asking, at what point do we see this as some form of theater where you put these together and a lot of Americans will watch and enjoy it in their own perverse and sadistic way, where we think automatically, well, obviously the guy did something to deserve getting that body slam, and if he happens to be a paraplegic, too bad. He better keep his mouth shut. We should all keep our mouth shut, because if we open our mouths, we deserve what we get, and therefore no sympathy, because there's no zero protest in the United States against anything. So I have to ask this question. Why not simply accept that we are a nation that has a police state that enjoys fascism? We actually gain something from it that we don't deserve nor need nor want to be free. And if we did, then we would protest. We would not go to airports. We would not allow ourselves to be sexually assaulted by being groped in our groin or crotch or breasts. We would say, no, if you can't do that to me on the street legally, then that would be a crime, that would be a sex assault, and you'd be arrested. Why should I allow you to grope me sexually in this environment? You're caring, you're concerned. 99% of Americans are not, they don't care. You can smack them, they would not rebel. Now, unless I'm missing something, Jesse, you're a tiny little minority of the American public who actually cares about freedom and democracy, where everyone else is far more interested in what's going to happen in the Jets game or Jersey Shore or Dancing with the Stars. Your thoughts on this, please.
Well, I can't argue with you, Gary. It becomes very frustrating. Oftentimes I look around and I start questioning myself, and I start thinking, gee, am I strange that I find this so disturbing that people don't care? And then I go to maybe the problem's chemical.
You've had an awakening, and your awakening is not capable of being put back to sleep with alcohol or medications or indifference or television. You become proactive. And the one thing that society needs are proactive consumers without looking at the body politic, but rather their own consciousness. You have raised your consciousness, and therefore you're finding things that no one else was willing to look at, and they're there. I mean, they're out there. There's no, and so you bring this to our attention. Now, there are a number of people between Alex Jones, yourself, and probably no more than about five other major sources. You're showing information that the American public is aligning with. But aligning with that isn't the same as fighting it. You're a fighter. You're a dynamic energy. We have to see what is necessary for the average American to say, I will no longer buy McDonald's. I will no longer buy Pepsi-Cola. I will no longer shop at Walmart. The very things that fuel a police state. And what is a police state for? To protect special interests. Whose interest? Is the police state protecting our block, making our block safer? No. Is it going in to protect those people who are unfortunate financially to have to live in a ghetto environment, frequently an environment that's very unhealthy for them? And no. Well, who exactly? Is it helping the small business person? No. Well, then why do we have a police state? Why did the government, through the Homeland Security Act, able to, in effect, deputize local police to make them at the federal level so that when you go to challenge them, you're not just challenging a local police person or a sheriff or a constable, you're challenging the United States government? Because they're terrified that what has happened in other countries, where the population finally one day awakened and said no more, no more corruption, no more double dealing, no more self-dealing, we're going to do it right. They're terrified of that, and so therefore they will scare people. And how do you scare people? Well, you do what they've been doing. Police brutality, in effect acting like a fascist state, filming and photographing and doing a record check on every single person at every protest, going into people and reading their emails and listening in on their cell phones and their phone conversations illegally. That's what's
Gary,
happening.
Let me add one. I've been down about a half a dozen times here in Minneapolis to the Minneapolis Wall Street protest. I go down there whenever I have time available to do so in support. And what I found interesting in Minnesota, which, of course, it's very cold here, the government will not allow the protesters to have generators in which to keep warm, to turn on any type of generator. Yet there's a generator right down there on the corner that generates and goes up a pole and provides the electricity so that they can photograph everyone that's at the rally. So the generator is okay for the government to photograph everyone, but it's not okay for the participants of the rally exercising their First Amendment rights in which to keep warm while they're there.
Well, I believe that at some point the American public is going to have it happen to them. And only when you are the person who is the victim do you really begin to say, why didn't anyone else say anything? Why is this just, it's not just happening. This creeping fascism has been going on a long time. And what is fascism? Fascism is the marriage of power of government officials and corporate interest. That's fascism. And better take a careful look, because we have had fascism for a long time. And dissenters are immediately labeled as extreme left or extreme right. And they're not given any credibility, and yet the people who no longer belong and accept the official positions, those people are never invited to be a part of any dialogue. So I think that they're just scared. I think that they're terrified that what has happened in other countries, including Greece, will happen here. Your thoughts?
Well, certainly any type of movement where the people do start rising up and it gains popularity, that frightens the status quo. There's no doubt about it. You know, going back in my lifetime, where would the Vietnam War have gone had the protesters not stood up against it? And initially, of course, the country was very much against the protesters. I remember it was America, love it or leave it, and you hippies, get out of here, and, you know, da-da-da, and all this. And it took a major event to turn the tide on the protests. And I guess in the protest world, and I certainly hope that it doesn't require this and this one, but maybe it will. Maybe it ultimately will have to end this way in tragedy. But in the Vietnam era, I think it was the Kent State Massacre, where the four college students were just simply murdered and gunned down on campus for exercising their First Amendment rights to protest against a war. And I hope that this movement doesn't require, but I'm afraid that it may. You know, it may have to turn out that before public sentiment truly gets on the side of the protester, that unfortunately maybe tragedy or death will have to occur.
There's a definition for a police state: unlimited state power of armed force freely discharged without citizen right to stop it. So we are long past that questionable line. We are into a police state action. We are into fascism, and it's only by speaking up and standing up and saying no more, no more. Now, if the younger generation is finding its confidence, finding its voice, good. But we should also remember that the people who have the most power are the people who have the power of purchasing, the senior citizens and the middle class. If we stop purchasing their products, if we stop electing them to office, if we stop voting for them, if we turn off their television programs and radio shows and don't buy their newspapers and magazines, if we boycott them, we will have more power than they, because we have the power of the purse, and that's what they're terrified of. As long as they can control the message, if they can make it look like, oh, those people, like I just heard Sean Hannity just now say, and he does this all the time. His whole show is about disempowerment. He says, the only thing that these Occupy people have is they have rapists and they're out there defiling people and thieving, and this is going to hurt Obama and the Democrats. So already he is on the talking page of who are these people. By the way, just as the Democrats and too many on the left were miscategorizing many people who originally stood up the Ron Paul original libertarian Tea Party, who were against the war and wanted to demilitarize our efforts and stop the Federal Reserve and close it down. And they were demonized also. So the left does not have clean hands on this matter, and nor does the right in its denunciation. But it takes an act of violence to draw people's attention. In America, if it bleeds, it leads. So when you see more of these things, then people say, it can't happen here. Oh yeah, it can. And if you read the notes of people who saw this paraplegic thrown out of his wheelchair 6 feet, crashed on the ground, bleeding profusely, and the police then handcuffed him, there was no reason for that. There was no need for that. Running in with full arms drawn to a food co-op in California that was selling some raw cheese. You could have walked in there with a health inspector and said, you're in violation of a city code or a food code, and confiscate it. We have to militarize everything today. There was just a 10-year-old girl that was slammed to the ground by police, 10 years old, because she was protesting and was carrying a sign. And why? Why, when you and I were growing up, if anyone would ever to have assaulted a 10-year-old child like that, that person, that night, people would be coming to that person's home saying, you are not a good citizen, you do not represent the proper police procedures.
Well,
but today, I don't care what you did. I'm surprised that people are not tasered or shot for jaywalking based upon the mindset. I think we've got a lot of psychopaths who are now using their disturbed mental state to justify their inner rage at anybody and just saying, you, today, I'm going to take my baton and just beat the hell out of you.
Well,
and there's nothing you can do about
Gary,
it. I'll get
if
away
I could interject
it.
For a moment, what we need to do, and what I do when I go down, like the occasionally the security or the police or whatever will show up down there, and I'll move right to the forefront and I'll look at all of them and I remind them of their honor. I say, remember, keep your honor no matter what you do. Be able to look in the mirror and keep your honor. and I try to get the status quo, the police, to defuse it.
Just hold your thoughts there for a second, Jesse. We're coming up to the end of our land-based terrestrial program. For those of you who would like to hear the remaining discussion with Jesse Venturi, go to progressiveradionetwork.com. We'll continue it there. For everyone else, please listen tonight, 7 p.m., a powerful panel on a program on the Progressive Commentary Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Please continue, Jesse.
That they are not and should not be government stormtroopers. That
but
we
they are
not,
Jesse.
That
they
we
are
not Nazi Germany.
But it is becoming Nazi Germany.
Well, it is if we allow it to, Gary. But we still don't have to allow it to. Nobody has died yet. And we certainly don't want anyone to. So you have to appeal to the. There has to be common sense on that other side too. You know, you can be in a position of authority and you can still have honor.
I agree.
And that's what we need to get across to them too. That, you know, that they need to understand that that people are simply exercising what's supposed to be their First Amendment rights and what's supposed to be a free country.
But it's not. Jesse, listen please to this part of it. And I agree with you on that part. But today, any human being who protests anything, if you're an environmentalist and you're protesting genetic engineering as we did in Washington where we marched 4 weeks ago, thousands of us from New York at the protest genetic engineering, you could see them everywhere. The vans with people taking pictures of every single person and then trying to find out people's names. You could see it.
Oh, I understand that because on my TV show last year, you know, it was very interesting. When I would cover 9/11 or when I covered the murder of John Kennedy or other different things that had already been accomplished, the government didn't care one way or the other. But the one show that I did on Are We Turning Into a Police State, where I confronted Congressman Cohn of Tennessee with his sponsored Homeland Security bill that ordered FEMA to build no less than 6 internment camps, whoa, did I get resistance for that one. The government came down on the parent company Time Warner at True TV. The episode aired only once. It was then pulled, and today they won't even acknowledge that we did it.
Well, hopefully enough people will watch, will read.
Well, hopefully
will listen.
It's out there because it was aired once, so you know that it's on the Internet.
Well, we need to take an honest look and work together. All the different people working together who are pro-true America, who are very patriotic, but who say no to fascism. And I believe if we do not stand united saying no to fascism and no to spending money on any of these corporations, and no to their elections, no to anything involving them, and then put together people who really represent the average person, and then sponsor them.
The thing that people have to remember, though, in order to do that, what you're asking for right there, requires people not to vote for Democrats or Republicans, because let's be fair, they're both equally owned.
I agree.
That's the bad thing about the movement right now is it's the Republicans are trying to put it onto the Democrats, and the Democrats are trying to absorb this movement as theirs. And the movement has to stay political free. They are both guilty. Democrats and Republicans have both sold out to Wall Street. It's not one party over the other. They both have. And that's why we're in the mess we're in, is because those two parties have been in charge for over a century, and they are responsible for it. So it's going to require people to stop voting for Democrats and Republicans and vote for anyone else.
Vote for the independents. You know, I've interviewed a lot of people from progressive points of view, and at one time they were either solidly in the a new Republican or the new Democrat positions versus the historical Franklin Roosevelt liberal Democrat or the Eisenhower conservative Republicans. There's a whole new morphing of this corporate interest. And they have publications. They have foundations. They have the George Soros, who I believe is as guilty as anyone, guilty as the Koch brothers in destabilizing people's lives and exploiting through his trading and currency manipulations and options. And then you have the MSNBC that has the talking heads that no matter how bad something is within the Democratic movement, they still say, well, you know, let's support Obama. Maybe he was just misguided. Now he'll get his guidance back. This man's not misguided. He's carrying out an agenda. So I can no longer trust any of the talking heads because they're talking without looking at who really could fight these people and who really could turn America around. They're going back to the same old individuals and expecting them to turn around and not lie, not deceive, give us back our rights, get us out of wars, help the hungry, and they're not going to do any of that. They haven't done it. They're not going to do it. So they're either intentionally disingenuous or they're severely mentally challenged, because anyone else could quickly wrap their mind around seeing they've been used and abused. And if you lie and abuse someone, they come back tomorrow and say, I lied and abused you yesterday, but today, give me your confidence and I won't. What kind of person would say, okay, instead of people who have not lied, not abused, we have a lot of those out there, you're one of them, who has not lied or abused people, and we now have to shift our energy completely, get off this corporate, not all corporations are bad, but at least these vulture capitalists who care not about how they make money or the consequences to people or the environment, and align ourselves in a more productive way. Your final thoughts, please.
Oh, Gary, I couldn't add anything to that. That was well spoken. Nothing that really I can add to that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, it's going to require, but it's like I tell people, the answer is as clear on the nose on your face, but it will be as difficult as climbing Mount Everest. And that's what it seems to me in getting people. I'll give you the example in Minnesota this year. We produced a candidate for governor that was highly qualified. Not only did he get my endorsement as the former independent governor, he got endorsements from two former moderate Republican governors, a former moderate Democratic senator. He was endorsed by both major newspapers. He was the only candidate that put his budget out when we faced a $5 billion deficit before the election, so that the people could see exactly what he'd do. And he ends up getting 12% of the vote.
Shows you
something. And I just threw my arms in the air and I said, you know, Minnesota, you deserve what you get. You vote these people into office and then you cry about it. Well, you're the ones that put them in there. Enjoy them.
But you see,
and that's really how angry I got over it, when the candidate we had, Tom Horner, was more qualified to be governor than I was. But, of course, I won because I have charisma, and that plays a big part.
My final thought on this is this. You're absolutely correct in stating that they are going to get what they deserve, but I would say we don't deserve what we're going to get. We're the empowered minority. They're the disempowered majority. We end up having to suffer the consequences, the unintended consequences of them not being informed, not being educated, not being proactive, and not caring enough about looking for the truth outside of their limited belief systems. Jesse Venturi, thank you for being on. We look forward to talking with you again. All the best with your new book.
Thank you, Gary, and keep up the great work and keep talking, because it's people like you that can continue to give us some hope.
All the best to you, Jesse.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for taking your time to listen. And we just ran a couple minutes into this next hour. This evening, very important program. Twitter people, ask them to listen. Why is it important? Because when the American Heart Association, or the American Diabetic Association, or the American Dietetic Association, when any of these dozens of groups tell you what to do, what to eat, what to drink, how do you know they're doing it based upon serving your interest rather than the corporate sponsors that have given them enormous amounts of money? We have completed a 6-month investigation. We'll have all the facts to show you. You can't believe any of these groups. And we have a lot of people lined up to share their insights. You won't want to miss this. Coming up tonight, 7 p.m., a free movie. 9 p.m., a free movie, 2 award-winning documentaries. A movie theater in New York, for the first time in my career, has opened their theater doors. And I'm going to ask our engineer to give me the information so I can give it one last time. So take your friends and go there And it's wonderful. It's a beautiful area of the city also. It's the whole rehabbed Lower East Side. And so go down there. 7 o'clock is Knocking on the Devil's Door, Our Deadly Nuclear Legacy. And at 9 o'clock is the Death by Medicine. And Richard Gale will be there, and Valerie will be there, Valerie Van Cleave. Both of them worked on both feature films. It's going to be at the New City Cinema, 155 First Avenue. That's on First Avenue. I think it's around 12th Street. And excuse me, 9th and 10th Street. There's also a good restaurant down there on First that you can also have some dinner at, too, Angelica's. So have yourself some dinner and then go see this, and you're going to get a free copy of the film. So you're not only watching a film for free, you're going to be given a copy of each film for free also. It's our way of extending hand-to-hand, person-to-person. Get it, get a gift, give a gift. You're the gift of showing up because you care, and you get a gift of seeing the film for free and then getting a copy of the documentary and having Q&A and then passing it on. These are actual vital movements. We're doing all we can to be a part of a larger group that is committed to closing down Indian Point and to stop hydrofracking, and so be a part of it, okay? And I'll see the rest of you at 7 o'clock on the Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day.
There are so many kinds of riches, and only one of them is gold. The wealth you miss, remember this. Worthwhile things cannot be bought or sold.
The Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Jason Tabenfeld.